If God is not there, the end result, despite all our labor, is not good. It's empty. It is in vain. C.H. Spurgeon said, the word vain is the keynote here, and we hear it ring out clearly three times. Men desiring to build know that they must labor, and accordingly they put forth all their skill and strength. But he says, let them remember that if Jehovah is not with them, their designs will prove failures.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale, and I'm Andrew Fitton, welcoming you today to our program, and I'm delighted to have you with us as we preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need.
Yeah.
You've been listening to The Wonderful Grace of Jesus by the Whitfield Choir of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster. I'm Andrew Fitton, and welcome today to Let the Bible Speak. As Christians, our dependency is not in ourselves, but rather we depend upon our God and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are founded upon the rock of our salvation, and the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Scriptures say, is the great King and Head of His Church. We go today to our pulpit in Cloverdale for the first part of the message entitled Our Glorious Foundation as the Church of God.
Psalm 127, and I want to leave verse 1 and 2 with you. And the Word of God says, Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Amen. On Friday evening, our brother, the Reverend Kimbrough, took as his text 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. He stressed the importance of a ministry. There in this church, a ministry that is founded upon the Word, that is founded upon confidence in the doctrine that comes from the Word, but also a ministry that knows the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a very clear reminder for both you and I of the great need that we have of the power of God through His Holy Spirit. In John 15, the verse 5, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of the truth that without Him, we can do nothing. And dear believer, this morning, as we come to the house of God, and as we come to consider His Word, this is the thought I want you to take away today. Very simply, without God, we can do nothing. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And at the very outset of this sermon, and let me say this, that except the Lord blesses us, except the Lord is found here, except the Lord moves here, we labor in vain. And therefore, let us desire that. May the desire of our hearts, whether it is the pastor, myself, whether it is the elders or the deacons, whether it's the members of the congregation, whether it's those who will come and attend Lord's Day by Lord's Day, as the congregation here, as the Church of Christ here, let us desire that the Lord would build His house, that He would be found here, that we would not be meeting in the strength of man or worshiping according to the ideals of men, but that Christ would be found here and that Christ would be glorified. There's a constant thread running through the Scriptures that reminds us of that truth that the Savior said in John 15, that without Him we can do nothing. I want you to think of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, Peter preached, souls were converted to Christ. We can think of the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul and God's rich blessing through those difficult times. The salvation of souls, the establishing of churches, the spread of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. These things are not attributed to the might of the apostle himself, but they are attributed to God, the Almighty God. I want you to think of the Old Testament saints and their hardships and their trials and the depressing situations they found themselves in and what happened on many an occasion. God delivered them from their enemies. I want you to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the verse 12. And there we have the prayer of King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Great multitude had come against him. And this nation had no hope. They realized that without God they were nothing. But yet their hope was in God. And what does the king pray? O our God, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 12, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. There is a situation. We're going to be destroyed. We have no strength. We have no might. Our eyes are on thee. Our eyes are looking heavenward, for our help is in the Lord's great name. And I want you to understand something as well, that if you read around that passage, you would realize that this king was a busy king. He was a king who set his nation right regarding its defense. They had soldiers, and they had defenses. They had military might. But he realized, if God is not with us, these things are nothing. These things are nothing. Dear believer, again, let me emphasize, except the Lord build the house, we labor in vain. We need the Lord. We need his power. Matthew Henry said, we are here taught to have a continual regard to the divine providence in all the concerns of this life. He speaks about the family and all the affairs and business of the family, for the raising of a family, for the securing of a family, for the enriching of a family. And if we look at this passage and we consider it in light of a home and a family, there are many great truths here. Dear believer, you and your family, this text applies to you, except the Lord is found within your home and within your family. You labor in vain. You labor in vain. Dear Christian parent, make Christ the center of your family. Make Christ the center of your home. Except the Lord builds that house, except the Lord is found in the center, it is in vain. It is in vain. Oh, you may send your children to the church. You may send your children to Sunday school. You may send your children even to a Christian school. But is Christ also in the home? And those things are good and excellent, but is Christ also in the home? This is what the psalmist is teaching us. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. May Christ be at the center of your home. And that word vain that is translated for us has the meaning of desolation, of destruction. If God is not there, the end result, despite all our labor, is not good. It's empty. It is in vain. C.H. Spurgeon said, the word vain is the keynote here, and we hear it ring out clearly three times. Men desiring to build know that they must labor, and accordingly they put forth all their skill and strength. But he says, let them remember that if Jehovah is not with them, their designs will prove failures. And so, dear believer, this morning, I want us to take this text and the truths contained within it and apply it in a specific context to the Church of Christ and to ourselves. There are great reminders for us and lessons as to who we are in the sight of God as His church. I want to take as my title this morning, Our Glorious Foundation as the Church of God. Our Glorious Foundation as the Church of God. And firstly, I want you to see that in this psalm, we are reminded of God's divine sovereignty over His work. We are reminded of God's divine sovereignty over His work. And when we think of that in light of the glorious foundation we have as Christ's church, we stand here because of a sovereign God. God is the one who is in control. And in our text, there is a clear indicator to us that the Lord is in sovereign control over this work of building. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain. And we can think of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we'll turn to that passage just for a moment. There were divisions within the church at Corinth. Sadly and sorrowfully, there were divisions. And Paul speaks about that great foundation being Christ. But he says that we are laborers together with God. But then he says, verse 6, before all of this, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Paul and Apollos, they had different roles within the church of Christ. But ultimately, the great benefit, the blessing, the growth, the fruitfulness came not from Paul. And it did not come from Apollos. It came from God who gave the increase. Why? Because he is the sovereign God of heaven. And dear believer, let us this morning, as we come to this phase in the life of Christ Church, let us remember that one of those glorious foundations that we stand upon is that God is in control. God is in control. He is in control of his church. He is in control of this world. He is in control of the church and in control of the world that is against the church. We see that in Acts chapter 4. I may have mentioned that to you in the past. I believe in Calgary recently, I did preach on this. Peter was told not to preach in the name of Christ. He went to the church, they prayed. And what did they pray? They prayed that God would bless them as they continued doing what Christ wanted them to do, which was preach. And they acknowledged that God was in control. They acknowledged that these individuals who were opposing the work of Christ were doing so because God permitted them to. He was in control. He was in control. We serve the sovereign God of heaven. And as I commence labor for Christ here, that is something that encourages me because the Lord is in control. He is in control. Our Westminster Confession of Faith says there is but one only living and true God who is infinite in being and perfection. Speaks about him being invisible, immutable, unchangeable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise. It speaks about his sovereign will. And what does that confession do? It magnifies God for who he is. And dear believer, when I went into Bible college many years ago, my very first theology class reminded me that we are to have the highest view of God. We are to believe and proclaim doctrine that exalts him. We are to live lives that bring glory to him. Paul reminds us of that. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And when we think of God being in control, that brings glory to him. Man is not taking the place of God. The ideas of man are not taking the place of God because he is sovereign and upon the throne. Psalm 115 verse 3 reminds us, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Jeremiah tells us, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Proverbs 19 reminds us, there are many devices that could be rendered as plans. Many devices, many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Certainly we can understand that. I had ideas and plans and thoughts about my future over the years. None of those plans involved Canada. None of those plans involved moving here, marrying here, ministering in Canada. But it is the plan of God that shall stand, not the plan of man. And we can apply that to those who are in their sins. They have their plans. They have their ideas. They have their thoughts of what they want to do. But God is sovereign and God is in control. And we see God's sovereignty throughout the scriptures. The flood took place in the power of God. Noah was delivered in the power of God. We can think about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the fulfillment of prophecy dating back from the Garden of Eden. Only a sovereign God could determine these things. Only a sovereign God could bring the birth of Christ to pass. He is sovereign over his work. He is sovereign in salvation. For his work of salvation is what makes his church exist. What is the church? It is those who are called out of this world. Called out, redeemed, saved, to stand and to live for Christ. In Acts 2 verse 47, it speaks about those converts after the day of Pentecost, praising God and having favor with the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And we're reminded of this as well in Matthew 16. Christ says, I will build my church. And what tremendous encouragements these are for the people of God. The Lord builds his church. And as we look to the future of this work, let us remind ourselves that we need the Lord. We need his sovereign working. His sovereign working. I want you to see a number of thoughts here concerning the building of the church. Our sin renders us helpless. That is why we need a sovereign God, because of our sin. Isaiah 59 verse 2 tells us, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. There's this separation in Luke 16. It is referred to as a great gulf, this final separation between the rich man and between heaven, a great gulf fixed. Christ says, no man can pass it. Such is this great separation. Our iniquities have caused this separation. Your sin has caused this separation between you and between God. That is why we need a sovereign Savior. What about your sin today? Are you resting in Christ? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? We can think of this text with an evangelical, a gospel perspective. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord saves you and redeems you and cleanses your sin, you labor in vain to save yourself. You cannot save yourself. Oh, that you would turn to Christ, that the Lord would build his house, as it were, within you. That you would know his so great salvation. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ is one of those glorious foundations we build upon. For without the gospel, we cannot be saved.
Our Spurgeon devotional is taken today from Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and the verse 13. They on the rock are they, which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Spurgeon takes that phrase, these have no root, and he says, my soul, examine thyself this morning by the light of this text. Thou hast received the word with joy. Thy feelings have been stirred, and a lively impression has been made. But remember that to receive the word in the ear is one thing, And to receive Jesus into thy very soul is quite another. Superficial feeling is often joined to inward hardness of heart, and a lively impression of the word is not always a lasting one. In the parable, the seed in one case fell upon the ground, having a rocky bottom, covered over with a thin layer of earth. When the seed began to take root, its downward growth was hindered by the hard stone, and therefore it spent its strength in pushing its green shoot aloft as high as it could. But having no inward moisture derived from root nourishment, it withered away. Is this my case? Have I been making a fair show in the flesh without having a corresponding inner life? Good growth takes place upwards and downwards at the same time. Am I rooted in sincere fidelity and love to Jesus? If my heart remains unsoftened and unfertilized by grace, the good seed may germinate for a season, but it must ultimately wither, for it cannot flourish on a rocky, unbroken, unsanctified heart. Let me dread a godliness as rapid in growth and as wanting in endurance as Jonah's gird. Let me count the cost of being a follower of Jesus. Above all, let me feel the energy of His Holy Spirit. And then I shall possess an abiding and enduring seed in my soul. If my mind remains as obdurate as it was by nature, the sun of trial will scorch, and my hard heart will help to cast the heat the more terribly upon the ill-covered seed, and my religion will soon die, and my despair will be terrible. Therefore, O heavenly sower, plough me first, and then cast the truth into me, and let me yield thee a bounteous harvest. May the Lord bless that devotional to our hearts today. This is Pastor Andrew Fitton, and you've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. We thank you for tuning in with us today, and join us tomorrow at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. here on this station as we consider the Word of God together. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining us today. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all His fullness to sinners in all their need. You can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca, and it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. Join us again tomorrow on this station at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. for the preaching of God's Word.